So let's kind of turn there. We're going to look at our scripture passage. As we finish, conclude, end, complete 1 Corinthians. Until the next time we go here. Chapter 16, starting with the 13th verse. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors in it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunus, and Acacius arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Come, O Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word and the encouragement that's there. Open our hearts and our minds to see that encouragement, to see how we can latch hold of it and be blessed each and every day. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach this morning, that indeed your people would be encouraged and blessed, that your word would come forth in power and in truth, your name lifted up and glorified. Now, Father, be present here. Speak to us all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians was and is one of the more critical books in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, where the church is really taken to task. After issue after issue. I mean, they've got people sleeping around. They've got people with in incestuous relationships. They've got people who are getting drunk and gluttony. They've got people who are acting in ways that are immoral. You name the immorality, and it seems to be going on in the church. And Paul is taking them to account. And he literally takes them to the woodshed for some good, solid discipline. But like any other form of real discipline, it needs to be given in love and not out of coming from a place of anger and a sense and a desire to inflict harm or hurt. But it needs to come from the heart of love, so that the desire is to bring correction. The desire is to help, not harm. And that's where Paul's coming from. Now, as he's gone through this letter, and he's dealt with each of these issues, he's time and again spoken sharply, firmly, but then he's also brought words of encouragement and love along the way. Again, the one passage which is most people are familiar with in 1 Corinthians is probably what's referred to as the love chapter. It's often read at a lot of weddings where a lot of people who don't know the Bible are familiar with love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. And he goes on and tells them about what love is. As he has disciplined them, and he has been. The purpose isn't that the two are different, but they're part and parcel with each other. They're two sides of the same coin. In Revelations, chapter 3, verse 19. Jesus is speaking and says, "To whom, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent." Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Those whom I love. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't discipline you. That's what Jesus is telling them. And this is what Paul has done with the church. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't say anything. But I do care. So he has brought discipline. But now he's at the end of the letter. And he needs to make sure that when he leaves them with a sense and a knowledge that his love for them is deep and abiding. And not just his love for them, but the rest of the church isn't looking down at them and saying, "Oh, you know, if Paul's the only one who loves them and the rest of the church is looking down, you know, they're still going to feel, you know, slighted. They're still going to feel abused." The purpose of discipline isn't to abuse and to make one feel abused, but the purpose of discipline is to correct, to cause our thought processes to change and our actions to be changed, to get our attention. Some of us are a little thick in the head and we need a harder knock. Okay? Sometimes you need to speak forcefully. You just can't come at it sideways. You just can't hint. The discipline must be brought. The correction has to be there. And Paul's done that. But it has to be done in love. Do everything in love. So he's doing this. Now coming and telling them, he's telling them that he loves them. He's not going, "Well, they know that I love them." Anybody ever hear that? Or maybe said that? "I'm not going to tell them that I love them because they know." What does Paul do here? He tells them, "I love you." My love to all of you. Also has the rest of the church is sharing the encouragement from the church there in Asia. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Okay, we've just gotten this letter telling us how terrible you are, but the church in Asia is coming and saying, "Greetings, we love you." Coming alongside, saying, "You're not alone. You're not abandoned. You know, yeah, you did some stuff that's not right. We're not going to turn our backs on you." So he tells them that he loves them, and he shows them that he loves them by writing in his own hand, saying, "But also this, all the brothers here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss." Saying, "You know, even though I'm not going there, I want to kiss you in that holy greeting." Now, we don't do that so much in our society, but culturally that was appropriate at that time. It was very much like the Europeans. They give these air kisses to the cheek. And depending how close the family, you know, if it's somebody who you don't know, they usually give like maybe one side. If it's somebody who they're close to, they might, you know, do both sides. If it's somebody who they're very fond of, they might go back and forth a couple of times. You know, not actually, maybe just lightly kissing the cheek. And we think of kisses here in America as something different. We think, but this holy kiss, this greeting, that's just how they welcomed one another. And it was intimate, required. Coming into somebody's personal space. It's very hard to kiss somebody from a distance. You know, we can do that. You know, I pretend we're on the dating game. Or the newlywed game, or whatever the one was. And threw the kisses at the, you know, just never did it for me. I don't know. Did you feel love from that? Watching that as a kid growing up, I thought it was silly. But never made me. No. But when my aunt, my grandma, or my cousin, you know, they come up and give me a hug and a kiss, you know, wow, that made me feel loved. And that's what Paul is doing as much as he can in the letter. He's saying, you know, if I was there, this is what I'm going to do. And when I do see you, this is what I will do. Now, letters like that are encouraging. I didn't know how much or realize how much until I first went away to college. And I got letters from my family. I really looked forward to them. Now, that's nothing compared to my boys who, you know, when they get letters, they get packages, they get emails, stuff. This is big, big for them because they're far away from home. And when you hear from somebody who's away, who's a distance away, saying, you know, I love you, doesn't your heart just rise up? Doesn't your spirit just say, I've loved? Now, after somebody has told you that you've been bad, if they don't come up and say, you know, put your arm around and say, you know, but I do love you. You might take it as an attack, as an intent to just cause pain and discomfort for the sake of being mean or getting revenge. But if the discipline comes with tears, if the discipline comes saying, you know, I hate doing this, but I have to. I cannot let you go that road without saying anything, without interjecting myself between you and your destination and saying, stop. That's what Paul has done throughout the whole letter of Corinthians. And now here at the end, he is driving home the point, as hopefully I have driven home the point, that he loves them. That they are loved, not just by him, but by the church and by God. They're not abandoned. They're not alone. They're God's loved children. And that's what we need to do in our interactions with one another. We need to model this. Sometimes we don't do it very well. I know for a fact I sometimes have issues. But sometimes I'll say something in anger instead of saying it in love. Maybe I should have waited until the anger had gotten past and I was in control of myself before I said anything. Anybody here ever say a crossword? And wished later you hadn't? Yeah. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Yeah. Well, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be coming alongside each other, letting them know that we love each other. You know, it's Valentine's week. We got the banner up, you know, love. We sang a couple of songs that dealt with love. Are we actually loving each other? That's my question. If you love each other, you will bring discipline one to another. One of the things that is often misquoted is don't judge. We're not supposed to judge one another. Actually, it's more of those who are Christians aren't supposed to judge those who aren't. But within the body, we are supposed to hold one another accountable. But before we go and hold our brother or sister accountable, we're supposed to do a little self-reflection and look in the mirror and say, oh yeah, I got that plank in my eye. Maybe I should take that out first before I look at the piece of sawdust in my brother's eye. But When we see our brother with a piece of sawdust in his eye, we're not supposed to just say, ha, whatever, let him suffer. We're supposed to help. Point it out. You know, oh, my eye hurts. I wonder what the problem is. Well, you got a piece of sawdust right there. You want me to get that for you? That is the way it's supposed to be done. Done in love. Done firmly. But with love. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. It's short. It's sweet this today. I went long last week. I'm not trying to go short this week just because, but we came to the end. And I don't want to belabor the point. We're supposed to love one another. Beloved, let us love one another, for he that loveth God knoweth God. He that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4:7-8. I got it close if I didn't get it perfect. It's one of my favorite verses as a kid. We need to live that. It's what Paul did in his letter to the Corinthians. It's what we need to do in our interactions within the church. Come alongside each other, loving each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Your love that brings us correction when we have need of it. Your love which brings us healing and provision. Lord, your love which brings us encouragement and blessings. Lord, help us to be loving towards one another in all of our actions. Father, we do thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the love you have for us and the love you have given us one for another. Lord, grow it within our hearts. May we even be able to love our enemies. Now, Father, help us to walk in the truth of your word. That we leave those whom we meet with love. In Jesus' name, amen.